Welcome in, buddy. Brother Goodwin here, Prophecy in the Spotlight. We're back again this week with you. Got an exciting show for you once again. And I want to read you a verse to start it off with, Luke chapter 21, verse 11. Look, listen to this. This will be applicable with what's going on, even in America, but other places of the world as well. It says in verse 11 of Luke 21, "And great earthquakes shall be in diverse places, and famines, and pestilences, and fearful sights, and great signs shall there be from heaven." Doc is in the studio. We're going to give you a look today at the convergence of signs in these last days. And boy, oh boy, everything, all the different prophecy roads are all on different lanes, different streets. But guess what? They're all going to come together right at the end time. And guess what? They're there. I'm not saying he could come tonight, but you know what? He could come tonight. He could come tomorrow. He could come next week, next year. But the truth is, he's coming soon. And you need to be aware of this for obvious reasons. So you can get your life in order, make sure you're saved, get your loved ones ready. And all right, so we'll be back in 30 seconds. Welcome, everybody, to the show, Prophecy in the Spotlight. I'm Brother Goodwin. This is Dr. Charles Hiltonbiddle. The show today, the convergence of end-time signs, it's all happening. We did a show on this a couple years back, but, man, everything is so much more blossom now. It's just shocking. The very verse we started with about the earthquakes, everybody's looking at that. I mean, they're happening, and we're going to talk about that in just a minute. But realize, before we start, we are a viewer-supported television network. We're also on YouTube, Rumble. We're on some radio stations. We're on BBS Radio, which is TV on the internet. And we're in a couple others, VTN in Arkansas. It all costs money. And Doc and I ain't got any money. We don't even get a salary here, Doc. Haven't in 5 years.
Amen.
And we're not complaining. We have our own ministries on the side. God takes care of us. But every so often, we got to come on to remind you that, hey, write a check, go to the website, hit the donate button. We need a little push right now. Okay? Right. If you can help, let us know. We've also got the RV studio I've been talking about on the live streams. I'm doing a live stream almost every day on YouTube. And many of you that only watch TV, you're missing a lot. I try to do a YouTube live stream every day or almost every day, and we talk about a lot of different things there. And one of them is the RV studio that we've purchased, and we're still a little short on. We need about probably $3,500 as of this recording. And if you'd like to help with that, let us know. But mainly the TV network, the cost for broadcasting is a great need. And there's no way around it. Some people say, "Are you guys begging for money?" Yeah. To stay on the air, it's going to take God's people keeping us here. So we've been here 5 years, a little over now. And so we're just throwing that out to you. If you can help, we'd like, love to. If you want to talk to me or Doc, we'd be glad to call you on the phone, have a chat with you, and tell you our burden and our vision here. Okay. Doc, I wrote a book just a few years ago that I think applies to this subject. You've got a DVD she'll put up in a few minutes, but the 7 Clocks a Ticking book. Boy, how applicable this is.
Even more today than when you wrote it.
Yes. And I realize that it doesn't deal with all the roads of prophecy, but I picked out 7 things that I think are a prophecy road that shows that we're near the end. Let me just give the viewers a little look here. Here they are. The ticking 6,000-year clock. My goodness, that's ticking down. Mm-hmm. We're very close. We're not no 10 years away, Doc.
We don't know what day it actually is. Calendars aren't actually. Yeah. But it's pretty obvious we are very near.
Yeah, I don't see us having 10 more years. I mean, we could be wrong. Maybe somebody messed with the calendar 500 years ago and we don't know about it. but if the calendar's closed within a few years,
yes,
the 6,000 years is going to end and the Sabbath of the kingdom age
that's right.
is coming. And God will not Amen. Be late for the Sabbath. He punished Israel for not keeping the Sabbath. God certainly ain't going to miss
that's
it.
That's right.
He ain't going to be late. And that's a ticking clock. It really is. Think about that. We are dawning upon the end of the 6,000th year.
That's right.
Pretty soon. You know, of course, you got the tribulation in there. The Jubilee clock, the final Jubilee is on the horizon. It's going to be when Christ comes back on the white horse, in my opinion. I believe that's the Jubilee, the 70th, the 120th from Adam. The church clock is ticking down. And by that, I mean the Laodicean age. We're getting worse and worse and worse.
Every era of the church age, in association with those letters, has had a distinct time when they began and an overlapping, of course, of it. Yeah. But we are certainly getting at the end of that Laodicean.
Yeah. Now, that Laodicean, I call it the Laodicean age. Not everybody agrees with that, but that's okay. I believe that those seven churches are literal. I believe there's figurative lessons for all generations, for us, for churches. Mm-hmm. But I believe the main teaching of Revelation is it's a prophecy book.
Right. Well, verse number one is the most understood verse of the whole book, really.
Yep, the revelation, unveiling of Christ.
Unveiling, and it's all done by signs and symbols.
Yep. He signified it by his angel.
Yes. Yep.
And Revelation 4:1 is no doubt it's the rapture. Behold, a door was opened in heaven. I heard a voice as of a trumpet come up hither. And that's right after that terrible church that God wants to vomit out of his mouth, the Laodicean era. And that's where we are.
Whether you want to call it whatever era, it is actually at the end of the church age.
Yeah.
And I believe we're there.
Yeah. And we fit what that church has talked about there.
Not only from the book of Revelation, but other prophetic writings, especially by the Apostle Paul, references the fact of the times of the church and the falling away and the deception that's taking place. All of it is happening.
And real quickly, the nuclear clock. I put that in the book because I've always said the nuclear clock is a ticking clock. Why is it, Doc, that only one nation has ever nuked anybody, and that's us, 1945, twice? Why has nobody in all these rogue nations, I mean, Pakistan's got nuked. Why has nobody nuked anybody? Yeah. I think we're on borrowed time.
Sure.
I think that clock, I think we just saw recently, President Trump made the announcement he has relocated some submarines around Russia.
Nuclear subs.
Nuclear subs. Mm-hmm. And Russia has done some moving around as well. I mean, they're saber rattling. But that's dangerous stuff.
It is.
Very dangerous stuff.
And then the earthquake the other day damaged the nuclear program of Russia.
Yeah. So they were weakened some.
And then we blew up the nuclear research labs there in Iran. And so,
that nuclear clock is ticking down. Now, I wouldn't be surprised if there's a nuke goes off somewhere, maybe a small one or maybe a big one, but before the rapture, it could happen.
Yeah.
But it's a clock that's ticking. And the truth is the world could destroy itself in 1 hour.
Absolutely.
If everybody started shooting off their nukes.
Yeah.
I'm not saying we'd quit rotating, but I mean, there wouldn't be much life left. It would be devastating. And that's a ticking clock.
Absolutely.
Daniel's ticking clock. That's the one, the kingdoms of the world. That's we could see that now.
Yes.
The mark of the beast, all of that is there. The harvest ticking clock and Israel, all these things are ticking down.
Yes, they are.
Towards the end.
Yes.
They're roads of prophecy. They're all converging at the same time.
Absolutely.
So,
yes.
Doc, you've got some things of interest, too.
Yes.
But before you do that, I see that little red radio out again on the desk.
Yeah, so most of you probably know about it. But this is something that we can put the mini, whatever, flash drive in there with whatever language of the Bible. Matter of fact, the missions agency just sent out 75 of these, 50 down into South America jungles. And 25 of them over into somewhere in the Far East.
I wouldn't be surprised if we have supplied half of those.
Yes.
Through the people watching.
Through our people giving here. And for $25, you can help get this into the hand of nationals and in remote areas. It's an amazing
investment. In other words, they put a gospel message on there in the language of where they're going.
As well as the
entire
Bible.
They gather around and they listen to it.
Yes.
Yeah. What a great idea.
It's a great opportunity to reach out and touch a world.
Okay, so it's on the website. In fact, you can see it on the TV screen if you're on YouTube. Yeah. There, there's a way to click on something. I don't know where it is, but it's probably in the comments down below. I don't know if you're watching YouTube. If you're watching television, you can call the 800 number. Say, hey, I want to buy. Yeah. I want to buy 10 of those. Or I want to buy two. Or I want to buy one.
And we've had a lot of people that have bought, you know, 100 here, 250 there. One guy gave 500. And so we appreciate it. And one of these days we get to heaven, you'll no doubt meet somebody that got saved or at least was encouraged because of your giving.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Amen. So what have you got for us,
Scott? Well, in Luke chapter, I've got a DVD that I did a message on. It's full animation with PowerPoint. Seven indicators of the end times out of Luke chapter number 21. And one of the verses you just read a while ago is a part of that. And in that, the Lord gives seven signs. And he began in verse number 8 with spiritual signs. In other words, don't be deceived.
Mm.
That's one of the first things he started with.
So that's really prophecy.
It is.
He's saying in the last days, people are going to be deceived.
People are going to be deceived. And I'm here to tell you, we have a lot of deception taking place on many different levels.
And we're not just, I don't think he's just talking about being deceived about Christ or God. I think it's talking about being deceived about doctrinal issues, separation issues.
Deceived about truth.
Yeah.
People say, well, deceived about Christ coming. Well, Jesus is the Christ and Jesus is the truth. And so there's a lot of deception. Then he says there'd be signs of wars and commotions. And boy, do we ever see that.
Yeah.
Wars and commotions. And matter of fact, our president right now is supposedly and looks like he has at least three or four wars, one of them 30 years long in the heart of Africa. He's brought peace to these wars.
I think I read that there are seven.
Maybe,
things that
maybe I just know there's been, and it's amazing. But there's commotions everywhere. And then he gave the next sign in verse 10. He said there would be global conflicts, nations against nations, and kingdoms against kingdoms. And we've seen World War I, World War II, and we're on the verge if something doesn't happen. World War III.
This thing with Ukraine and Russia, I don't know if people realize, this isn't Russia and Ukraine. This is Russia and NATO and Europe and America.
NATO globalist, using NATO nations, are pushing and using, just like Iran was using their surrogates against Israel. These globalists are using Ukraine as a surrogate in this conflict with Russia. They pushed it into happening, and it's all for making rich people richer. That's all it is.
Yeah.
It's blood. And so there's world conflicts. Then he said there would be signs under the earth. And so that's what we've been seeing happen in the last couple of weeks.
Signs under there. You're talking about the plates and the earthquakes. And
the
what?
Plates of the, we don't have time to talk about it, but as a result of Noah's flood, the world is larger than it was before because the waters that are above in original creation are down here, and the world is, and it has stretched the plates, and the plates of the world are moving, and that's what creates earthquakes.
And that ring of fire, we did a show recently. Yeah. I don't know if it was one of the YouTube ones or if it was an actual TV show. We talked about the Ring of Fire. We had a picture of that.
We looked at it, yes, last.
But let's recently talk about that some more, because there's been some more
connected
activity.
The Ring of Fire is connected with these plates. And in different areas connected with these plates are volcanoes. Many of them are dormant. I don't remember the actual number. I know there's at least 1,400 volcanoes in the world. The greater majority of them are dormant, but at some time they were not dormant. And we are watching just last week one that I think it was in the 1400s or something of that name, maybe 1600s. Anyway, it's been 600 to 800 years since it last erupted. We're seeing, as a result of the major earthquakes 2 weeks ago at both ends of the Pacific fault line, we have seen an amazing between these earthquakes. The ring of fire is lighting up all the way around. So, and these volcanoes are going to, if they, well, by in the 80s, Mount St. Helens.
And she has that up for you, the ring of
you
fire.
Can see that around the Pacific Rim. And in the 80s, whenever Mount St. Helens erupted, the ash was 20,000 feet in the sky. And
I remember that.
Airplane traffic was changed. Yep. And
it
five
changed
states
temperatures
were
in
shut
different
down.
States. I mean, it affected the weather.
It did. And right now, Mount St. Helens, as a result of all of this activity, is threatening to erupt again. They've closed Yellowstone, because Yellowstone is the largest supervolcano in the world.
So this, people know, make sure people understand what you're talking about. Yellowstone's right here in America.
Right here, yes.
And my dad told me about that for years. He said one day if that ever goes off, it'll cut the country in half.
It will. It'll destroy the western part of the United States. They're really concerned, because there's been like 3,000 some odd earthquakes in the last couple of weeks in that area. We're not talking big earthquakes; they call them swarms. But there has been several rather large, 5 to 6.0. And the geysers, there's been a new geyser come, and a new vent hole has appeared from that. The dome has risen at least 50 feet, and from the space station, they're able to monitor it, and they're very concerned.
And which one is this?
Yellowstone.
Okay, Yellowstone.
Yeah,
so,
Yellowstone. The dome of the cauldron has risen 50 feet.
Now, you told me when we came in today, you said that there's been more news just in the last few days about Yellowstone.
Amazing.
Because we already knew animals were leaving.
Animals have been leaving for quite a while.
They sense the tremors, and they run.
Yes.
And you said that they evacuated the place.
They did.
Get in there.
They went in. The rangers went in and gathered all the people that were in the park, and it literally forced them out of the park and closed it down because of the... So... But coupled with that is the next sign is, the third sign along with the earth is there are going to be sights in the heavens. And what's happening, Dan, with these earthquakes and with the volcanoes that are taking place, it has to do with the gravitational pull against the earth.
Yeah.
So at this same time, six planets have aligned with the earth on the other side of the earth from the sun. This is a major gravitational pull against the earth. We've had, we're having now some of the major sun flares, solar flares. All of this is emitting enormous amount of energy that is affecting a lot of technology on the face of the earth. All of this together, because when God created the universe to begin with, it still is, even though sin touched, it is still interrelated with each other. I mean, Mars and other of our bodies in our solar system have a play in the gravitational pull on planet Earth. And all of this is happening at the same time. Amazing.
Yeah.
And a couple of days ago, we were able to witness, I saw some. I went out. When we went out, I took my dog out. About 10 o'clock, and I saw some of the meteors. You could see them. And it was one of the largest meteor displays that you'll see until next year, and it may not be near as big as it was this year. So there are the signs that he gives of the, under the earth and above the earth. Boy, they're everywhere. But between that, he said there'd be signs on the earth.
Yeah.
Famines and pestilences.
Yeah.
You might want to tell us about the pestilences.
Yeah, and it's coming.
We just had some.
Yeah, we had some, you know, the 2020 thing.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that was global.
It was man-made, yeah. And it was global.
Every day there's more information coming out.
Sure. And we knew that all along.
Yeah. Yeah, we did here. I mean,
absolutely.
I was hosting Protestant News when that happened.
DVDs on that, and yes.
I scolded the pastors like a week or two after that on television because the pastors, they heard the announcement, all non-essential businesses need to close.
Yeah.
The first guys that got up was the pastor. Not all of them, but
that's not non-essential. That's very essential.
Grabbed their jacket, shut the door, and got in their car and went home. And I said, you forgot something. Got to take your sign your name off the sign. Now let somebody else pastor. What do you mean non-essential? A church?
But this is one of the signs, and you hear about it all the time.
Yeah.
Because right now, there's something happening in China. I don't know the name of it, but there's another one of these things taking place in China right now.
Well, look, I mean, there's young people are getting cancer like never before.
Oh, yes.
All kinds of crazy stuff's happening.
And a lot of that, Dan, there are a lot of reasons for the rise of cancer and physical ailments. A part of it is the weakening of the DNA structure of the gene pool.
Yeah.
But also part of that is the weakening of the electromagnetic field, the energy that is needed for cellular regeneration, as well as some of these outside chemical things. That
and we
know about.
I know you got another couple here, but let's not forget the Ezekiel 38 thing.
Yes.
Is closer than it's ever been.
That may be one of those wars. Yeah. And rumors of wars.
I mean, look. I mean, Russia's been pushed up against the wall. Now, Trump is meeting with him in a couple of days. By the time this airs, it'll have already happened.
Done it.
And
he,
we'll see what comes of that. But he's been pushed against the wall by everybody. He's been lied about for, 8 years from the from the Democrats? That's all out now. Yeah. They've used Russia and blamed Russia for all this stuff. And Putin's sitting over there saying, what are they talking about?
And I saw today that I don't give him too much credit because Stormy in the UK is about as worthless as Clinton was here. But anyway, he's telling the rest of the NATO nations, tone it down. Don't cause any problems for the talks with Russia. And again, it is the fact that the globalists are using NATO powers to try to not have a peace over there.
Yeah.
But when Russia gets settled, and by the way, the scuttle that I'm hearing is that Russia, in order to end it, is going to demand that it controls the areas that it has conquered. We've talked about that on our several times.
But isn't that normal in wartime?
But it is, once again, as we said earlier, that is the Magog territory for prophecy to be fulfilled.
Yeah.
And so when this is settled, it's pretty odd. Yesterday, I saw this just yesterday, that the leader, this ISIS leader, who everybody thinks is such a wonderful guy in Syria, he's an Islamist, hardcore ISIS. He's in a chameleon stage right now. He has asked yesterday for Russia to move their bases next to the Syrian border of the Golan Heights, to stop Israel from coming over into.
Yeah.
These are the stages being set for Ezekiel 38.
And you got any comments on the Gaza takeover? Israel saying that we're not going to give it back. We're going to control Gaza. You got any thoughts
on that?
Well,
I think this is a part of, we know that when you get to Ezekiel 38, the greater majority, if not nearly all of the world, will be opposed against Israel. And what's going to happen, I don't care how many times Netanyahu and the rest of them say, we're not occupying it to keep it. They may mean that, but to the world says, I heard the word occupy, and that's all we need to hear. And that's all the world is going to need in order for them to become more and more anti-Israel.
And after all that Israel's been through, I mean,
yes,
including the October 7th massacre there, but long before that, I mean, I've seen videos, they've been people having a wedding and they blow it up and kill them innocent people. This has been going on for since they've existed there in 48. Yeah. And now they're taking out their enemies after October 7th, and they've took out a lot of them.
And they're still taking some.
And now people are still saying, oh, you people are committing genocide. You're doing this, you're doing that.
Oh, yeah. It's nonstop. So what's happening in Gaza is the stage. Israel is put in a position where they have no choice.
Yeah.
But no matter what they do, the world is going to continue to find something to be opposed on it.
And we think, you and I think, the Antichrist is very possibly going to be the pawn that's used to save the world or save Israel at the Ezekiel 38 war.
He could claim victory over that. I do believe it's God that's going to do all of that. Yeah. But he's going to declare himself to be God by the middle of them tribulation.
And he's going to be crowned at the middle. He comes in on a white horse. That means something.
He's going to be crowned. He's going to be given authority. I don't know if it's a victor's crown or just a diadem, but he's coming. But right now, what's taking place in Israel is, I believe, a major sign of the times.
Yeah,
getting Israel in a position without any choice. They had to do this, but it's turning more and more and more of the world against them.
Now, do you want to just 10 seconds or more on a couple more of these?
We've talked about the main.
Oh, you got them all.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we pretty well covered them there.
In the latter times, First Timothy 4:1. I just did a live stream on this on YouTube. In the latter times, some, and I made a big point. Some,
I like that.
Not all. Some shall depart from the faith.
That's
Doc, I brought out something on that. That word depart. Mm-hmm. If you depart a parking lot, you had to have been in the parking lot.
That's right.
If you depart from a restaurant, you had to have been in there.
So if you've departed from doctrine,
you had it at one time. That's right. I think this is talking about saved people.
Oh, it is, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes.
Departing from, this is not losing your salvation. No. This is Christians or saved people who have been deceived and have gone down.
Well, one of the things he said in all of that is, don't be deceived.
Yeah. And how does it happen? Giving heed to seducing spirits.
Yes.
I think there's some preachers that are guilty of that.
Well, and, sad, but yes.
Doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy. And then, of course, 2 Timothy 3 as well. Well, Doc, 48.
Well, he says, commending to abstain from meats. We're having a lot of people trying to blend the Old Testament and New Testament together.
We've got 30 seconds left, Doc. Hmm. What does the listeners need
to take
from this?
Well, number one, you need to make sure you're saved. And if you've never received Christ your Savior, realize you're a sinner. You were born that way. God loves you, provided a way for you to be able to escape the condemnation of the wrath of sin and be born again. Secondly, you need to do everything you can while you have time to reach your family for Christ.
Yeah.
Very much.
And make sure you're walking with Him.
Yes.
Spending time with God because so important. Well, that's all the time we've got today. We'll be back next week at the same time. Keep your eyes on them skies. Hey, thanks for watching our regularly scheduled program. We are a viewer-supported program, and if you'd like to partner with us to help keep us on the air, we would appreciate it.
Well, you can call either our 800 number. It's on the screen there, and donate if you'd like, because we sure could use the help. We're a donor-supported ministry.
Yeah. And the website's right there on the screen. The phone number's scrolling on the bottom there. And $5, $25, $10,000, whatever.
Well, we've been on, going around 4 years, I guess.
Almost five, Doc. June will be 5 years.
And we've made it this far on the donations of God's people.
We're on nationwide on different networks. And if you don't know how to find us, contact us. We can get you a brochure. We're on a lot of networks nationwide, CTN, VTN, all kinds of different ones. Of course, we're here on BBS Radio as well. And we appreciate each and every one of you. We hope you're enjoying the content that we bring.
Right.
If you haven't noticed, we are prophecy people.
Yes, and we're old-fashioned Bible prophecy. We're not We're not chasing illegal aliens. We're not chasing aliens and fallen angels and spaceships. We're just trying to follow the guidelines of the Word of God.
That's right. Old-fashioned Bible prophecy. And, well, some of you have been watching us for quite a while already. You know what we are. And we try to put it right on the bottom shelf for you.
Yes.
Okay? So, listen. Partner with us. Pray for us. Yes. Pray for the ministry here. And get involved if you can. We'd love to hear from some of you. Contact us. Send us an email. Send us a text message. Call. We'd love to hear from you. All right. Well, stay tuned for one of the shows from our archives coming right up. Greetings, everybody. Brother Goodwin here. Hey, the Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, it says this, "The Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith." We're going to tackle this again today. I got something really exciting for you. This is really... really been on my mind and my heart for a week or two now. I did a Facebook Live on this about 2 weeks ago, and it was unbelievable. Some of the things that I shared with the audience from this passage, things that I've never seen before, and I've been doing this a long time. And but that's the way God is. That's the way the Bible is. You don't get it all. You'll never get it all. And you can read this again next week, and something else will pop out at you. That's what happened. And Doc is in the studio. We're gonna bring you some new and exciting prophetic signs from this passage that you've never seen in your life, most of you. And so stand by. And greetings, everybody. Thanks for watching today. Thanks for tuning in. I hope you got your seatbelt on, and I hope you're ready for an exciting half hour, because we've got some new look at some old scriptures in the Word of God. You know, 1 Timothy 4 is not, Doc, it's not one of them passages that we use a lot.
No, but what I was thinking when you were talking about the introduction today was, you know, the closer you get to things, more light shines on the subject. So therefore, we are able to see things that it was impossible to really see less than even a generation ago. Some things just less than a decade ago.
Now, a couple of days ago, we were here in the studio. We had a serious technical problem. The lights flashed. We lost the power. We thought we burned up the computer and everything. And pray about that, folks. We've got to get I don't even know what you call it, but it's a surge protector.
Yeah, we're having... evidently, that's three times in the last 2 weeks we've had a problem in this area out here in the country. So,
and this was a close call. We thought the computer was fried. We took it with us to my daughter's, and we plugged in, and the light came on. That's we have light.
Yeah.
And then we hooked the monitor up to it, and we were okay. Yeah. We didn't lose it, at least
not
yet.
The Lord protected us.
It may be getting ready to die any minute. I don't know, but I think we're okay. But I shared with you on the way out, I know it was kind of a hectic day. You may not have even heard a thing I said. I was telling you some of the things that God had, that I see differently now than I always
had. Seen.
And I want to share that with the audience today. And I think it'll be a blessing to them. We're looking at 1 Timothy chapter 4, which it's a prophetic passage, but it's not one that we use a lot. We use the other one.
Sure.
In the last days, perilous times shall come. There's a whole list of things. That's usually the go-to passage.
That reference.
Yeah.
Yes.
But man, this has opened up to me. We've done a show on this recently, but I never saw what I'm going to share today. I never saw it before in the light that I see it now. And so let's go. Let me read the passage. I'm in 1 Timothy 4, verses 1 through 4 or 5 here. "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith." By the way, Doc, if you're departing from the faith, you must have been in the faith. This is talking about saved people.
It seems to be.
Yeah.
Yes.
You can't depart from the faith if you weren't in the faith. it isn't like you were confronted with salvation and you turned away. It's people that were in it.
That's what Hebrews is talking about.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So this is talking about in the latter times, the latter days, some are going to turn away from the things they've been taught, the things that they've learned, the things that they've preached all their life. Boy, are we seeing that
today.
That
is where we are. I mean, you look at the internet, you look at the YouTube channels, and even the live streaming of some that have been fundamental in the past.
Yeah.
And it's amazing.
And all we're seeing is the preacher guys who have platforms. How many other people that don't have platforms are straying? But we don't see those. No. So we're just going by the internet people that we see and the big name guys. And
I had a conversation just yesterday with a very brilliant minded man.
And you and I talked yesterday?
No. he was speaking. He went to hear what he thought was a good preacher preach. And he got to a certain passage and he said, "Now, folks, in our day, that really doesn't mean that."
Wow.
And he said, "I could not believe." And it's just simple. You either take by faith what God says, or you just don't believe.
Yeah, and we've made our own God. We want God to be in a box that we made. We want him to believe like we believe, and we've got it backwards. So it says here, the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times, some, not all.
I like that some.
Yeah, some shall depart from the faith. And then it gets into what I want to share, and this is the beginning. I've got a little outline here. There seems to be a pattern here. This happens, and then this happens.
Usually that's the way it works.
And this causes this.
Yes.
And the first thing it says here is giving heed to seducing spirits. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't want to name call and get too into this, but this is a big deal. This is... The whole the charismatic movement
seems
to be filled with this. They seem to have another spirit talking to them that's not from the Word of God. And they're going off in directions that you can't point to in the Bible. They're claiming that God is speaking to them through dreams or through visions or through speaking to them.
And they try to back it up by using Joel chapter 2, which is referenced in Peter's preaching in Acts. You know, young men and old men and the dreams and the visions. But that's for Israel. Doesn't have anything to do with the church.
And a lot of that is probably during the tribulation.
I imagine. Yeah. But this is, they take things out of context to make it fit what they want.
You know, if somebody can get up in front of an audience or a TV camera and say, "Look, God spoke to me verbally last night," or "I had this dream. God gave me a message for the world."
Yeah.
That's dangerous.
And it's happening constantly right now. It's one of the signs of the times that we're living in.
Now, it's another thing when someone says, "Look, I was reading my Bible last night, and this passage stuck out to me.
It was illuminated to me." That's another word.
And I feel like this is what God wants me to say to you. That's totally different.
Because it's from the Scripture.
And it also gives you and I, who are listening, the opportunity to discern whether how he read that Scripture, is he wrong about how he's interpreting that? I have the ability to check that out for myself and see, does that mean what he says it means?
Because no Scripture is of any private interpretation.
Right.
It's not going to stand alone by itself.
It's got to be interpreted as God said it, not as how I try to twist it sometimes. And nobody gets it all perfect, of course. When somebody says that God told me this in my mind or in a dream or a vision.
Or I got this word of knowledge.
Yeah, you can't.
This is the word of knowledge right here.
You can't vet that guy.
No, you can't vet it. You don't have any way to. And 9 times out of 10, somewhere down the road, the character shows up a little different than what's been said.
So I could name names.
There's
a guy I'm thinking of right now. I'm not going to say his name. He's a good man. He's not in the same category that we are. He's not the kind of a Bible believer that you and I are. But he had a dream some time back, and the prophecy world's gone nuts over this.
And everybody's gone nuts over somebody's dream. Hey, I had a dream this morning, too. But I'm not going to share it because I was falling off the tail of an airplane again.
Back to your Air Force days.
Back to the Air Force time. Yeah. But, hey, some people had too much pizza before they went to bed, I think.
Yeah. And that's what I tell people. And I don't want to get stuck on this first part of this, but everybody has dreams.
Yes.
Everyone has dreams. You can't vet somebody's dream. You can't prove right or wrong.
Yeah.
And, you know.
And the thing is, a dream, dreams are usually bits and pieces of something that has either come through the eye gate or the ear gate or otherwise.
Yeah.
It's recorded somewhere, and in your sleep, the neurons are connecting this, that, and the other, and they don't even belong together sometime. That's why people awake and say, man, where in the world did that come from?
Yeah, and you seldom remember most of your dreams.
Yes.
And you can't.
Nebuchadnezzar had a problem with that, didn't he?
Yeah, you can't build doctrine around
somebody's dream.
So. No. So that's the beginning of this, and it's a little deeper than this, actually. Giving heed to seducing spirits.
Mm.
Seducing spirits. Now, that's that word seducing means it's usually in a sexual manner, but enticing, usually of a sensuous nature, but not always. To seduce somebody, we all know what that means.
Yeah.
But in a spiritual sense, somebody...
Well, you're...
is coming in and seducing us, and that somebody is an evil spirit.
Well, over in the Old Testament, the Lord kept talking about in the relationship of the nation of Israel go a whoring after these strange gods.
Yeah.
And that's a seducing, pulling you away from truth.
Yeah. And how do they do it? They the offer of prominence and prestige. And
on this side, the desire to be accepted, the desire to be a part of whatever,
yeah.
When in reality, real Christianity stands apart separate.
These guys, and again, I don't want to disparage anybody. There's some good people out there who claim that they've gone to hell.
And we're not saying that they're not saved people.
Right.
No, we're dealing
but
here
this,
with...
this one guy said when he woke up, he was in a different place.
Yeah.
So that's just not biblical.
You got to be careful about following dreams.
And once you get a following and they push you up, I mean, Satan just gives you...
Yes.
He can give you something and make you look awful good, and it's dangerous. And
this is why... But see, Dad, we're living in a society today that is... honestly, biblically ignorant.
See, I see. I go back to the Bible again, Luke 16. The rich man wanted to send somebody back, and he couldn't.
No.
But yet this guy had a vision, believed he went to hell and saw hell,
and
he comes back.
And you're hearing about all the people that have had experiences, and I'm not saying they didn't have some kind of experience, but I don't believe they really went to heaven. Even the Apostle Paul, referencing himself, said that he couldn't even reveal what he saw.
Caught up in the third heaven,
and
saw things
I'd,
not lawful.
I think I'd take his credibility over about anybody's.
Yeah, and
but everybody's saying that as we're now in the end days, God is giving more of this. No, God is allowing us to have more enlightenment because of the times we're living in. But nothing new is.
Yeah. So, Doc, it goes on from that. So it starts there. You know, some are going to depart from the faith, giving heed. And I look that as because of giving heed to seducing spirits. In other words, they're following after things that are not scriptural,
yes.
not biblical.
Extra-biblical things.
And they're, I mean, the whole Nephilim thing.
Oh, it's all extra-biblical.
Right, the whole fallen angel, UFO, Nephilim. All that stuff, that has gone berserk. That has just gotten way out of hand.
Yes.
And we're going to do, we've done shows on that. I've written a book on that, which I think is one of the best books out there. In fact, there's almost nothing on my side of the aisle.
No, it's all on
print.
The other. It's all on
esoteric.
And,
but I believe that I prove it. You've got a couple chapters in the book as well. The Great End Time Distraction is the name of that, and that's what it is. It's a distraction. And we're looking for UFOs and fallen angels and Nephilims instead of looking for the coming of Christ.
Yeah.
And we've gotten way off base on that stuff. And it's a seducing spirit that's caused this. And doctrines of devils, it says. Doctrines of devils. Adding, Now, let's just share a few of these doctrines of devils. I think adding to salvation is a doctrine of devils.
Yeah. When you say,
you got to trust Jesus, it's by grace, but you've also got to quit this and quit that.
Well, that's truly what legalism is.
Yeah.
Legalism is saying that, yes, we are saved by grace, but we have to have something to go with it, to keep it, really to have it. That's what they were doing. They were following Paul's in his missionary journey behind him, telling people that it's okay to believe on Christ, but now you got to do this, keep the feast. Yep. And we're living in a time today where good Christians are getting caught up in thinking they're more Christian and they're more spiritual by participating and being a part of Judaism.
You see, and it's pride. Everything goes right back to pride.
Yes.
And in other words, I've got to do something. God can't do it all. I have to do my part. There is no part for you.
There is nothing.
Believing is your
only
part.
And we're not adding Jesus to anything. You don't have anything to add Jesus to. It's either him or nothing.
Yeah. And they'll say, well, you got to quit this. You got to quit drinking. You can't drink and be saved. And I quit drinking when I got saved, but I got news for you. That had nothing to do with my salvation.
No.
That was a byproduct of my growing in grace and wanting to know him.
And we're living in an age where there's very little true discipleship.
Yeah.
And people are getting saved because in this Laodicean world, they are being told that you can just add Jesus to what you're doing. After all, we have liberty in Christ. Not realizing liberty is something you surrender back to the one that gave you liberty, and then you become in service to him. But nobody seems to teach these truths.
And so, baptism. I believe baptism is a doctrine of devils. I believe to say that I have to be washed in water to be saved is a lie.
It's a
doctrine of devils.
There's no power of salvation in the water.
Yep. And here just for a
simple... It's a shadow and a type. The Bible tells you plainly it is.
For a simple illustration, for 4,000 years, nobody got baptized.
Yeah.
Are you telling me all of a sudden God changed the rules and he pulled the lever? All right, from now on, to be saved, you got to get water baptized.
Well, I'm not so sure they'd never had baptism because various religions had practiced baptism because baptism is a outward statement that I now am identifying myself with this doctrine that's being taught.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you get baptized, it's not only an answer of a good conscience, but it is an obedience to Christ, and it's a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection, but it's also saying, I am now identifying with the authority that is administrating this baptism. I'm identifying with the doctrine of this church.
And the thief on the cross had no way to get
baptized. He didn't have any, did he?
And Jesus said, today shalt thou be with me.
Because to be in the church of the redeemed, you're baptized by the Holy Spirit into Christ.
Yeah. All right, so it goes on here a little bit here. So in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith. They're going to be seduced by spirits, demonic spirits. Mm. They're going to get into doctrines of devils, which is simply false doctrine.
Yes.
It's false doctrine.
And there's all kinds of it out there.
Yeah.
All kinds
and
of
it's,
it.
And it's inside our independent Baptist church.
Oh, yes.
It's just like it's everywhere
else.
It is. People
are
getting caught up in the tongues movement, the visions, and they're getting caught up in other Bibles, other ways to heaven, that's where we are. But then he goes on to say, speaking lies in hypocrisy. Lies in hypocrisies. And in other words, being a hypocrite and saying one thing but living another.
And saying you're something that you're not. You're an actor. And we have a lot of actors, I think.
And I think a lot of preachers get in their pulpits and they've been saved for 20 years and they look at their audience and, well, they don't live as good. They don't separate themselves like I do. They must not be saved.
Mm.
What's my goodness? I had to learn as a young pastor.
It wasn't my place to do the Holy Spirit's work.
Yeah,
and that's something that's Bible teaching will help people grow.
Yeah, and then we've got speaking lies and hypocrisy. Having their conscience seared with a hot iron. See, that's, we know the more you do something, the more you stray, the more you get away from God, the less it begins to bother you. And the conviction, after a while, I think Peter, I think, is it 1 Peter 1 says, gives a whole list of temperance and all these different things. But if he that has not these things has forgotten that he was purged from his old yes. sins. I believe a Christian cannot even realize he's saved anymore. He can't get to that point.
They get involved in these doctrines of devils and the seduction that's taking place. And the further away they get from truth, the more entrenched they get into thinking, I'm right, and yeah. you're wrong.
I think
then they become confrontational.
And that seems like the end of the line. That's dangerous.
Yeah, very dangerous.
And we've got preachers that have gotten so dogmatic of something, even though you take the scriptures and say, look, it says right here that's not right, and that they won't hear it.
It's amazing. Everybody can see it, and they'll say, but. In other words, I have a reason.
I tell people that verse in Hebrews 1, I think it's verse 5. Unto which of the angels said I at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. I say, that really should be the only thing I needed in my book. I should have had a one-page book. Hebrews 1:5 is the end of the story. There are no angels that are sons of God.
But there's the word dealing. Yeah. But in the book of Enoch, but I think, I don't care what you think. Yeah. It's what the Bible says. You either believe what the Bible says in faith, or you don't believe it.
And Job 38, they all go to Job 38. I think it's chapter 38.
Yes.
When the sons of God shouted for joy. See, that's the angels. That is not the angels. Nope. They're wrong there. That whole passage is an analogy.
It's a metaphorical passage. Yeah. And this is something that I think maybe in the next week we may deal with some of these things. But people don't know when something's absolutely literal or when something's been used in the Bible as a parable or metaphorical statement.
Yeah. Job 1 and Job 2, I believe it takes place in paradise. I believe the sons of God there, I'm convinced of it. There's no doubt. The sons of God in Job 1 and Job 2 are the saints in paradise.
It certainly does. Because when you put the pattern together, yes.
And while I was writing that book, and of course I was looking at the word angel all through the Bible, and I found the word angel is mentioned in Job chapter 4. And I'm saying, wait a minute. That's the first usage of the word angel in the book of Job chapter 4. If those are angels in Job chapter 1 and 2, why didn't God use the word angel?
Yeah.
Because they're not angels.
Why did he wait till that time in the conversation?
Because Hebrews 1:5 is very plain. Unto which of the angels said I at any time, thou art my son? They're not sons of God. They're servants. They're ministering spirits.
But it's a matter of Abraham is the great. He's called the father of faith and the faithful. And Abraham just simply believed God.
Yeah.
He didn't have to have an answer. A reason.
Now, Doc, we got 5 minutes left. My most important two things are coming up, but let's just take a minute.
Yeah, I better tell about what's
tell
coming.
About we're 2 or 3 weeks from the bill being due. We're getting close. We're still a few thousand dollars off, but we're close. Tell the folks a little bit about how they can help us.
Well, of course, you can contact through the ministry, but we desperately need your help. Again, this time, almost this time every quarter, we come up against it, and God's people seem to always help us get over the line. And I want to also thank those folks that have given on the roof project.
Yeah,
I got another check for $50 a while ago from a dear lady, and we still got a long ways to go, but people are giving a little bit, and we appreciate that too.
And on the website is a link to his page where you can donate to the roof if you'd like.
It's not leaking today because it's not raining. So.
Yeah.
But anyway.
I won't tell my rain joke that I had.
Amen.
So you can go to the website, prophecyinthespotlight.com. You can click on, there's several donate buttons there for you. You can help. And we appreciate all of you, our partners in the ministry.
Amen.
I was going to say our partners in crime, but partners in the ministry, we appreciate every one of you. We are viewer supported. That's how we survive here. And thank you to everybody that helps us. Okay, let's finish up here. The last two are really something. These are something that I never saw in this light before, Doc. After the conscience is seared with the hot iron, then it says this. Forbidding to marry. You know, all my life as a prophecy guy, I have said that's the Catholic Church. You know, the priests don't get married. I always thought that's what that means.
I don't think it has anything to do with that.
I think what that's saying is when you get to this point, you get your conscience is seared now. You've strayed. You've left the faith. So anything pertaining to God or things that God has instructed us in, we go the other way. We go the opposite.
The institution of marriage.
Yeah. And the institution of marriage was given by God way back in Genesis.
Right in the beginning.
And so if they don't believe in God and they've strayed, then who needs marriage?
Yep.
We don't need to be married. We can have all the women we want. We can we can shack up together. We don't have to have a marriage license. We don't have to be...
Or we don't even have to have an opposite sex.
Yep. And now it can be men and men and women and women.
And now you've got... quote unquote clergy with their multicolored robes on for the transgender and whatever the rest is. That's what he's talking about.
Yeah, it's very sad. And I was at a shop the other day, and this lady and a girl came in. She wasn't a young girl. She was probably 20s, but tattoos all over her body. I couldn't believe it. And I felt sorry for her.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Them things don't come off.
They've marred what God made in His image.
Yes. Anything to distort the image of God that God
and
placed
we're
in
seeing it more and more. And I saw somebody yesterday in a store I could not believe had five colors of hair. Five different colors of hair.
Yeah. At least you can regrow that or wash it out.
I don't know. But why do people want to bring attention to themselves with all the nose rings and all the eye rings and all the ear? Men putting something in there to make their ear. You can go to Africa and see that.
And that's what it is.
That is demonic spirit.
So forbidding to marry is really talking about we don't need marriage. We can fornicate. We can have anybody we want, have a one-night stand. That's what that's talking about. And these are the latter days. And there's one more here, Doc, then he goes on to say, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, which God had created to be received with thanksgiving.
In other words, God said, I want you to eat meat. After they got off the ark, he said, you can eat meat. And now they're making plant-based food.
Yeah.
They're telling you ought not to have cattle, no meat, vegetarians.
Yeah, and it's right out of the prophecy here. That, in other words, because God said meat is good for us, and he does say that. Yeah. In fact, he says, he that is weak eateth not meat.
Yeah.
And I think that's in Romans. And so these people, and I'm not against, if you don't want to eat meat, that's your
choice.
That's
your business.
But don't say that it's a sin.
Don't say, yes, indeed.
And
it's amazing how, Dan, it's right now, less than 1% of America is a part of that LGB, whatever it is. But we're catering to the 1%. It's the same way with this other, whatever a few thinks, everybody's supposed to do what they say to do.
Yep. Well, folks, there it is. Would you say we're in the last days? I'd say we are.
Yes.
I'd say we're in the very latter times. And, hey, Doc and I are available to preach at your church or your prophecy conferences. Just contact us. We would love to talk to you about that. And you can go to the website, go to the bookstore, check out the different books there. I got a brand new book. It may be there now coming, and we'll be talking about that in the near future. We also have our 3-year anniversary coming up next, 2 weeks from now, I think, our 3-year anniversary. We're going to have a special show for that, so don't miss that. And hey, thanks for spending this half hour with us. I hope you've been blessed. Hope you've been helped. Until next time, keep your eyes on them skies.